What's up, Nashville? Welcome to The Local Wave, Conversations with the Nashville Underground. I'm your host, Alex McWilliam. I'm laughing because I said that and it wasn't recording, and now Kyle told me that it was recording. Anyway, this week we got Idle Threat on the podcast, who are truly a force to be reckoned with here in Middle Tennessee. Not only do they have a new song out called Empty House that you should check out, and an EP last year called Grown Tired, but they've got an awesome festival that they're putting on here in August that you can go check out in Smyrna. It's going to be headlined by bands like Ghost Key, Household, Author, and then, of course, their band, Idle Threat. And it will contain former Local Wave alum, Loyals, and Lonely Youth, who used to be known as Forever and Never. So you should go check that out on August 24th and August 25th. I'd never met these guys before. It felt like kind of looking in a mirror, seeing them, because they're a little bit younger than me. It reminded me a lot of myself when I was their age. And their band is just killer. If you like bands like Under Oath or Beloved, like please go check out Grown Tired and their new single Empty House. As far as The Local Wave is concerned, you can go to at The Local Wave on all social media to chat with me or to talk about the podcast or to give us a follow, whatever you want to do. If you want to chat with me directly about sponsorships or being on the podcast, you can email me localwavepod@gmail.com. No the. And lastly, if you want to become a financial supporter of The Local Wave, you can do so by going to patreon.com/thelocalwave. There's a simple and affordable option for $5 a month. Thank you to everyone who's given to that. By the way, it helps me out so much and is able to do things like buy whiskey for Kyle, who deserves it because he does this podcast every week and he's amazing. And he looks at me every single time that I say his name. And so I do it every single time that I do an intro. Anyway, let's get to this episode. This is going to be episode 41 with Idle Threat.
Zeke McKinney.
What do you do in the band, Zeke?
I sing and I play bass.
What about you over there on the other side?
I'm Ernie Fabian, and I play guitar, and I do the screaming.
The screaming?
Yeah.
I think, I was trying to think, the only other like post-hardcore screamo band I've had on the show is Forever and Ever, who we played with.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Full Circle.
Right.
Now Lonely Youth.
Or Lonely Youth.
Right. It's
if
rushed.
You go by, they smell right. It. Yeah, Lonely Youth. You got to say it like that.
What does they had a symbol at first for the Y.
Yeah.
What even is that symbol?
I want to say it's the symbol for Japanese yen.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah. It just looks cooler.
Yeah, it just looks
But cooler. It probably means something like a swear word in Japanese. Yeah. You know, like I'm sure that's like what it, why they took it away. So how are you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty great.
Yeah?
Feel good.
Really I love good. Your new jam.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's super, it's crazy good. You guys got a new record coming out? What's going on? Tell me about your all's lives.
We're in the process of writing right now. We have some stuff that we're sitting on that I think is some of our best stuff that we've ever written, but I feel like it's going to take a little while.
No.
Yeah. We've decided, I mean, obviously, whatever we release next has got to be up another level. So
yeah.
So we're going to take our time with it.
We try to stay really busy and do a lot of things at once. And unfortunately, that at times pushes back the writing process.
Right.
So, you know, it's been... I mean, we put out Empty House as a single. It's just going to be a standalone single, sort of to hold us over so that way we have more time to write. But yeah, we just, you know... We tour and put together festival and all these different things that a year goes by and we're like, crap, we should probably like start writing some music. And so we're in that process right now.
I think that's when I heard about you guys was like about a year ago. I mean, really? I've seen your names like on Nashville shows all over. And then I started following you like around the time I started the podcast, and I wanted to have you guys on forever.
Dude, we're super stoked to be
here. Yeah, really glad to be here.
So what's this new stuff that you're writing? What about it is making it one step up from where we were before?
We want production on it, which in the past we really haven't done much of that. We just had friends give us some ideas.
Right.
So right now we're working on creating more just a cohesive like album. I don't know if it's going to be an EP. We're kind of writing as many as we can, and then if we have to cut some to make something just more complete, more cohesive all the way through, then that's what we'll do. But if we end up with like a full length, then that would be really awesome as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know, just trying to create something that there are no songs on there that we won't play, you know. In the past we've done that with some of our albums, which we have two EPs. And one of them we cannot stand, and it's, you can't find it anywhere unless you have a physical.
I looked for it.
Yeah,
and then I found HM reviewed Grown Tired.
Yeah, that's
and
still out.
It said sophomore EP. I was like, wait, what's going on here? I don't see it.
We had to like reinvent ourselves after the first album.
I feel that.
Yeah,
oh my gosh, that's
I feel that way about Overwatcher's first EP.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I'm sure you have people that are like, oh, yeah, that first EP is like so good.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know.
I mean, not good enough for us to have it out anywhere.
Right, so, right.
We actually had like a couple like hard copies left, and we ended up just like giving them away to people just to like rid ourselves of them. Like,
right.
And took it off Bandcamp and everything. And
well, I feel like as any band, you kind of have to do that, mm-hmm. you know? You have to get good somehow.
Mm-hmm.
The only way of getting good is not being good.
I guess that's what it took.
Oh, totally, yeah.
You got to suck until you're good. That's a general rule of thumb, I feel like.
I'm going to quote you on that.
Yeah, right? You got to suck until you're good. Yeah, no, I mean, that's it. I feel like you see that all the time. It's always surprising when bands come back after, like, you know, they were good and then they don't do anything for so long and now they're good again. That's always weird, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you listen to Hope's Fall, but they just put out a new record, and it was that way.
Like, it's really good.
It's so good.
Cool.
Yeah. You guys remind me a lot of Hope's Fall,
really?
Actually.
Sweet. I've never listened to them.
You should probably listen to them. They're really good. What era of, like, screamo did y'all come up in? Like, how old are you guys?
So, I'm 24.
Okay.
I'm the dad of the band. So,
dang.
We're actually a pretty young band.
Right.
You were 23.
23.
Yeah.
Dang. And JJ's 22.
Yeah, no. JJ's.
Or a 1 year.
Or, I don't know. Maybe he's 23 now.
No, he just turned 23.
He's 23.
In April, yeah.
And any of y'all go to college or anything?
We, the two of us did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Graduate?
I graduated in 2016 from Belmont.
And I just graduated in May.
Dang.
Yeah.
Fresh out of college.
Yep.
And going for it.
Yeah. Trying to, man. Trying to.
So you would have come up in like the late 2000s type of...
Yeah, 2006.
That little like metalcore boom of the late 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Who were all y'all listening to at that point in time?
So for me, I actually came up way more on the emo side of things.
Where?
Like My Chemical Romance, I loved them. And then like, but honestly, my favorite band in high school was Mayday Parade. Like, I loved all those bands that I'm a little bit embarrassed of now. Like, I still love Mayday Parade, but like, I listened to All Time Low and like We the Kings, and that was like my introduction into that whole this whole side of music, and I slowly but surely got heavier from there. But
that's,
I started
I was
off with,
similar to yeah, my I yeah. I'm 29, so it was before you, but I got I went from soft to hard too. Some people start on the side where they went from like new metal into it, or like other kind of radio rock stuff into it, and got softer. I went soft to hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get it. I feel you.
Soft to hard.
Yeah.
Definitely me.
So for me, a little shout out here actually. Blake Casper played in a band called Pinion here.
Yeah. Shout out Pinion.
Yeah. We went to middle school together, and he introduced Chiodos to me. Under Oath, and that was like my immediate gateway in. So at the time, I would listen to those two bands. Huge Norma Jean fan. I don't know. There was I mean, you went all over the place, like Scary Kids Scaring Kids.
I saw them once play in a bill where they were above the Devil Wears Prada.
Wild.
Yeah. When Chiodo, it was Chiodo's, the headliner. Emery was Direct Support, yeah. Scary Kids, and then Devil Wears Prada. It's like 2008, yeah. I think.
Chiodo's was the first show I ever went to. It was them, Motion City Soundtrack, and Hit the Lights, I think.
That's super weird.
It was a really weird show, but that was like the first one I ever went to. And
what was your first show, Zeke?
Mayday Parade.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I loved that band in high school. I found A Lesson in Romantics, and it changed my view of music completely. But, yeah.
That's where you get all the melody from, though.
Yep. I love melody, yeah, for sure. That's one of the things that I feel like our new stuff is better at than before, is have a lot of good melodies. But yeah, you give me a good melody, I'm hooked immediately. Yeah. So
I feel like college age is, I mean, it's one of the times where you probably, if you're anything like me, you kind of go out on a limb and start listening to a lot of stuff you never listened to before. You make friends who are listen to jazz, and friends who listen to like other rock you've never heard, and listen to rap music, and all, you know, and you start to kind of take in a broader scope. Was that the case for either of you guys in these last years?
Yeah, definitely for me.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but
yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. For me, like, college was a lot. I used a lot of that time to go back on some bands that I missed out on.
Certainly.
Growing up, I wasn't that big of a Converge fan, and now, like, you know, they just put out some of their best material, and, you know, find myself going back to find those albums that I missed. I wasn't huge on As Cities Burn until fairly recent. But then, you know, I love, like, Me Without You. It's one of my favorite bands.
I actually just made a top 25 playlist of my favorite Me Without You songs
today. Okay,
right,
what's
before
one,
I came over.
Number one for you.
I don't rank them.
I just
put them in alphabetical order because I couldn't. But I would probably have to say Tie Me Up and Tie Me if I had to choose a song.
For sure.
But anyway.
You?
What about you?
Favorite Me Without You song?
It's hard. Paper Hanger, probably.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
That's my favorite one of their records.
That is my favorite record, too.
I still have a lot to learn about Me Without You. I have so many friends who are into them, and everyone's telling me, you need to listen to this band. I still haven't gotten into them yet.
Yeah.
I kind of asked that question to ask, like, because your music is kind of a melting pot of, you know, a few different genres. So, I feel like you can hear it when you listen to you guys, like, especially on the new song. Cause that one, there's a lot more melody. I mean, clearly the first EP, you kind of, I don't know. I heard bands like the bands I would probably reference might be a little bit before your time, but a band like Beloved was like one of my favorite bands growing up. And you guys reminded me a lot of them, which is what made me want to have you on the podcast.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah,
I've never heard of I think I've heard you talk about them on the podcast
you
before.
Should probably listen to them.
But I haven't checked them out. I probably should though.
But yeah, so where does that melting pot kind of come from?
Probably the contrast between me and Ernie.
Yeah.
Our writing process is either like we're just like clicking, me and him, or we argue until we find something
like
that we like.
Yeah,
a lot of arguing. Yeah. But
so it kind of sounds like you, Ernie, are like the heavy guy, and you're sort of the melody guy.
Ding ding ding! Nailed it right there.
Which is funny because actually, Justin, our drummer, is the heavy guy. Really,
that's
like,
true.
So I'm more in the middle, but he likes just straight hardcore, and I mean, he likes all types of stuff. But like,
that's
mainly
like his bread and butter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but he's so I guess passive at times that it ends up being us just arguing until something gets
he's
done.
He's usually just like, you guys figure something out, I'll just play the drums to it.
Yeah.
Like, you guys fight it out. And so we do.
Yeah. That's the contrast though, for sure.
But it seems sort of like a, you know, like a healthy thing, you know, like iron sharpening an iron type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
You create the greater
I think
good.
It takes a little bit for us to realize it, but we know it's because we both care about it so much. Yeah. It's the only reason we fight about it. But
when did Idle Threat actually begin officially?
So I was preparing myself to give an oral history of this, but it really... So me and JJ became friends in high school. We became friends when I was a sophomore and he was a freshman, and we clicked over like our mutual love for like this kind of music, because we went to a small private school called Ezel Harding in Antioch, and like no one there listened to any of that kind of music. And so it was basically just me and him, and we became really close, and we started just like jamming together, just me and him, and we would like play Fall Out Boy songs and stuff like that. And we wrote like a couple like pop punk songs, because towards the end of high school I started really getting into like the Wonder Years and Story So Far and stuff like that. And so we started writing together, and there was times where we try to get someone else to come in and play with us, but it never meshed, or they can never give the commitment that we wanted to give. And so I had always gone to church with Ernie, and so I remembered, I was like, dang, that guy Ernie, he's got gauges and tattoos. I bet he's into that kind of music. And so one day I asked him if he wanted to do it. And I think he came to practice with us once, but then he asked me to join this like joke band that he was starting, and I'll let you take it from there. Yeah.
So in Smyrna, there was this house venue called Headache House, and they always had like the craziest names, like bands playing it. And we knew we wanted to just play a show there. So we formed a band called Fecal Matters. And we were
true story.
Yeah, purposely story. Going to write just awful heavy music. And we were gonna play a show, and it never happened. And slowly, like, the other members in this band decided that they didn't want to do it anymore. And so it was just us, and we're like, well, I still really want to like kind of play music. So he told me about how he's been jamming with JJ, which is Justin. Mm-hmm. And I came over and we practiced once together, and that's when we were like, let's try this out for a little bit.
Yeah.
And each practice and each time we got together was better and better, until we decided like, let's try to do this as like a possible career.
When did you guys start the touring? Because you guys, I mean, that's one thing I've noticed from the jump, is you guys have not let no label or anything like get in the way of you guys just going for it.
Yeah.
You guys are always on the road.
We started touring, man, I don't, what year was that? We've been touring for almost 2 years now, I think. And the first year that we did it, it was kind of sporadic. We were all still in school, and so we just kind of did it when we could. But then this last year that we did it, we did quite a bit, and we're trying to do a whole lot more this year. But the first year that we did it, it's just like a little, like a 5-day run.
Yeah, it was like a spring break type thing.
Yeah, it was right before we released Grown Tired.
Yeah, I feel like people either kind of get known by, you know, they have like one song and it gets heard by like the right person, and then somehow they just blow up, and then they're a band, you know. Right. And I'm sure you've seen people that you know that happen to, and kind of go past you, and you're like, what the hell? But then other people, get on because just by sheer force of will, you know, and that kind of seems like the train you guys are on.
Yeah,
I guess so. Yeah.
We all acknowledge that as individuals, we're not like the best musicians, and so we've kind of made it our thing to just keep our heads down and work. And if something happens from it, then that will be incredible. But I feel like a lot of the time, if you don't write just the next hit, you know, then your only other option is to just give it your all until something sticks. And that's been the path that we've had to take. I mean, we...
Obviously, you would love a hit song.
Oh, for sure. Clearly. We still try to do that.
Right, right.
But, you know, we don't...
But you gotta
we don't really beg anybody for anything. We don't... Yeah. We just try to do our thing.
No Kickstarters.
Yeah, no Kickstarters.
It's actually really funny. My dad My dad's been a musician my entire life, and that's where I found my love of music. But he was in a band with one of his best friends. His name was his best friend's name was Jimmy. And one time they were over at Jimmy's house, and they were in this band, you know, just trucking along, making music and trying to do the thing. And one day Jimmy's dad just looked at him and said, why don't you boys try to write one of those hits? And they're just like, thanks, Dad. Yeah. Would have thought of that. Thanks for all the help.
Yeah. It's really funny. That's so funny. Yeah, I mean, you guys did kind of write. I mean, you got Colorblind, which, I mean, seems to be your hit.
I guess so, yeah. It's our most popular one.
But I think it's because it kind of blends, like, what we've been talking about. You know, like, the screaming part is over one of the best melodies that you guys have, you know, and that's like what that seems to be the idle threat recipe right there, you know.
Awesome. That's super cool to hear, man. Yeah. I think it's just that we were actually talking about this on the way here, but I think it's just that first part, just that hook within the first 30 seconds just gets people in, and then they'll listen to the rest of the song. Yeah. Whereas maybe our other songs don't have that in the first 30 seconds. No.
Well, tell me about that writing that song. It.
Oh, man.
Well,
do you remember anything specific about writing that song?
Well, a big part that we should definitely mention is we used to have another guitar player.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We started out as a three-piece, and then when we were writing Grown Tired, actually, when we were writing the first EP, right, we added a guy named Connor, and he went to school at Trevecca with Zeke, but he was from Georgia. And so he was only here during the school year. We did a couple little tours with him, but he's actually the one that wrote the beginning.
Yeah, that riff.
And then he showed it to us, and that's when we just kind of took it and formed the rest of the song. But after he graduated from college, he had like some really awesome things, like he was getting married, or is getting married, actually. But we knew that was coming. He got offered like a full-time job at a church down in his hometown.
Moved back home to Georgia.
Yeah. And so we decided that it was just best that we don't hold each other back. And so at that point, we became a three-piece again. So to answer your question directly, he has all credit for that riff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we're super grateful for that time, but we also then decided that was the direction that we wanted to go. So Empty House is a, in our minds, a continuation of Colorblind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I just had a question that I totally just lost. How do you guys feel about Grown Tired now?
I honestly still like it.
Yeah.
Which is a good feeling
for
as
sure.
a songwriter, I think. I like more. That's pretty some rare. Songs a lot of more times. Than others. Yeah. Definitely don't feel that way about the first EP, but with this one, I feel like.
Right.
I mean, there are times I get tired of it, but. I'll like, you know, every couple months I'll like revisit it and be like, that was pretty cool. Like,
yeah.
And other parts I'm like, we could have done that better. But,
right.
But yeah, I still feel.
I think you do that with every album though. Mm-hmm. And you're always wanting to do better than the one before. But, yeah, if I don't listen to it for a long time and I come back and listen to it all the way through, like I'm pretty satisfied with how it turned out. I just know that, you know, I can't do that album again. Like,
right.
Let's move forward
right.
and fix the mistakes that we think are there and come up with something that we're all proud of at that time, which we'll probably then look back at after that one's over and be like, okay, well, let's get better again.
Right, right, know? Right. One thing I was kind of curious about is you guys are pretty outspoken with your faith.
Mm-hmm.
In 2018, there's not a whole lot of Christian bands making it that big, much less Christian screamo bands. So I was just kind of
dying breed.
Yeah, well, I was just like curious. Like, is that something you guys are going to continue to kind of latch on to with like the Christianity aspect of everything?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a much deeper part of me and Ernie as well than this band for sure.
Yeah.
No.
Well, one thing I mean, I heard in your. I feel like you kind of hear in your lyrics, and maybe that comes out from the Me Without You love, is that exploration of spiritual doubt in times,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And so I was just kind of curious about maybe with your walks, like where you've experienced stuff like that.
Sure.
These are the questions I wanted to ask.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. You go first, man. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. So Grown Tired, really, the whole album was about spiritual doubt. I was in a place of loneliness at that time. I had some issues with the church, just like my church back home. And I got to a real like low place to where I felt like giving up the whole thing. But I just personally believe that there's nothing that I've ever done in my entire life that has been more important or has had any more significant meaning than like believing, like actually believing and following the words of Christ. And so it's like almost impossible for, even if I feel like super low, like it's almost impossible for me to just completely turn my back. I mean, it's one of like the most, it might be a hymn or something, but the whole like the lyric, the cross before me, the world behind me, mm-hmm. no turning back. Like that has always been my life motto that I'm going to go forward with this. And so like, we're going to continue writing it because that's just like impossible for us not to. Like, this is how I feel. This has always been like my guiding factor. But we're also like super real about how like, yeah, I don't always believe it. Like sometimes I really don't believe it, but it comes back around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of like the passage of the guy who was talking to Jesus and he said, I believe, help my unbelief.
Yeah.
That was a huge theme for Grown Tired for sure. Cause we've both gone through like real serious spiritual doubt where we were like, man, I don't know if this is true anymore. Like everything I've been taught, and really just like kind of deconstructing and then like rebuilding it back up. And just re-examining what we believe. And
I'm sure writing those songs is a huge kind of exorcism in and of itself.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That whole, especially for me, that beginning of Grown Tired, the I believed you, I still believe you, but sometimes I don't know what I'm doing here. Sometimes it feels like I'm wasting my years. And I still feel that lyric really deeply sometimes
when I sing
it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first thing you sing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that kind of sounds like the thesis of the whole band in a certain sense, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Which is pretty fascinating. And then you guys have Threadfest. You've been doing, I mean, you guys have been pretty popular, like audio feed and stuff like that. What made you guys want to start your own festival?
So, we realized that you could put together shows, that you could rent. There's a train depot in Smyrna. It's like this historical place.
How it all started. There you go.
And actually, my friend Daniel Gardner, he plays in a band called Pumpkin Seed.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He and I put together a show in the depot for like a homeless benefit. And it was just really fun. A lot of people came out. And so we decided we wanted to throw a couple more shows in there. So we did an EP release in there. And then I guess, I think it was JJ that really threw out this idea of, why don't we just try doing like a two-day thing? And so we pondered on that for a little bit and pretty much just decided that, all right, well, let's just try it and do it 1 year. And it went really well. For the first year, a lot of bands played it that didn't have any reason to play it because it was nothing, you know?
Right.
And every year from there, we've decided that we want to make it better than the year before. Mm-hmm. And we were not allowed to use the space anymore because they didn't know what we were doing, apparently. I think it's that they didn't like the music that was being represented there. I'm not exactly sure why, but they basically told us that we couldn't use the space anymore. And so we moved it right across the street to this like two-story building in Smyrna, Tennessee, of all places. And that's actually funny because one of the most, like the biggest popular comment that I see is, since when did Smyrna get a music festival or do anything cool?
That's true.
You know? I see that all the time.
Yeah, I always like to say that I feel like the best bands, at least some of the best bands in the country, are just playing house shows in Nashville, you know? So yeah. It's always cool to have stuff like, I mean, that's why I do this podcast, you know, to try to support and grow what you guys are doing and what the Nashville scene is doing, too. So
for sure.
I think that's what it's about. I'm a huge, huge fan of what you're doing over there.
Thank you.
And I'm stoked to come this year.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. Stoked to see you there.
I can't remember why I couldn't last year.
Wedding. Because you were going to do MC it or something like that last year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think you had a wedding.
Which wedding was I going to go to? I forget.
I don't know, but like about 3 or 4 different bands couldn't play because of a wedding. And I'm wondering if it was the same one.
I know it was a wedding. Mm-hmm. And like I'd have to look at the calendar and remember which one. Yeah, I was so bummed because I remember I had like messaged, I don't remember who, which one of you guys.
I think it was,
Ernie, about it. And I was like, in it, I was like planning on getting shirts. I was like, the whole thing, like the ball was rolling. And then like all of a sudden my wife was just like, we have a wedding, what are you doing? And I was like, shit. Like, sucks. Yeah. So yeah, I'm stoked to come this year.
Cool, it's gonna be good. And you know, like inversely, like we've been inspired also by what you're doing and the support that you give and like your tagline even of like be a fan of your friends. You know,
I mean, you guys are doing that. I mean,
I just grew up. We're from Nashville, and so like we grew up in like the Plea days. You know, Alert the Sky. Yeah, like. Mm-hmm. That community was so sick, and it did not matter what type of genre you were. It didn't matter. It didn't matter if you were a Christian. It didn't matter if you were gay or any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like there was no division. Everybody just came to shows and like hugged each other and stuff, and it was awesome. Somewhere that kind of went away. The communities are there, but they're in pockets, and so we just want people to feel like they can still have that community. And come to a place that they feel welcome and that they feel loved. And as musicians, feel encouraged, because I know me personally, like sometimes I think that I'm wasting my time doing this and that I should just get a real job, you know, or something like that. But having a group of musicians behind you saying like, no, what you're doing is important, and cheering you on and like celebrating with you.
Yeah.
Like if you succeed, if another band succeeds, we all succeed. That's how I look at it. Mm-hmm. So that's really what Threat Fest is about.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it, guys. It's great. So tell me about what's next. Tell me about your goals. What do you want to achieve with what you do next? Even maybe so, like, if you want to take it a little bit deeper, like, what do you want to, have you thought about what you want to express kind of lyrically and like spiritually in this next stuff? Themes you want to explore?
Not entirely. I have some ideas. One, which has grown tired being kind of dark, like spiritually, but like also with like a little bit of hope for sure and still in there. I think we wrote that out of like a really like hard season in our lives, and we've both talked about maybe kind of wanting to go another way and write a record that's more like grateful.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Cause
like
I'm
that.
Not in the same place I was when I wrote that album.
Well, Empty House is already like a lot, you know, more melodic than Grown Tired is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's probably the biggest difference.
Yeah. I think, you know, I think he said it like being grateful for, life first off and, Even the bad parts of life, still being grateful that like we get this chance. I'm 24. I've had 24 years that I should be grateful to have, even in the valleys and the mountaintops. You know,
Notorious B.I.G. only lived to be 24.
So, all right, there you go. Dude, don't curse me, man.
I'm not saying.
Even gonna make it. I gotta make it to October.
I'm saying.
I gotta make it to October.
Pac only made it to 25, so. You gotta make it 2 more years, and it'll be straight.
Cool. But yeah, I don't know. Just it's gonna be a lot more, I guess, positive thematically.
Mm-hmm. As of right now, that could totally change.
Yeah, right. Who knows? Something really bad could happen.
You guys seem like you're in like a happier, more positive place right now.
I feel like it. Yeah. Most of the time, I mean, I definitely still have moments where I don't know, but I feel like overall.
And that comes a lot from like the friends that we've made on the road, honestly. Like we've met some people that I've never felt more loved than because of these people.
I did actually have this question to ask you. Mm. Tell us about, each of you give me two bands that people should be listening to that you've like toured with.
You want to start?
You go first. Cause,
oh, dang.
Let's do two different ones. That way we...
Because you've toured with some cool bands.
Okay. That way so we I'll cover... say one, then you say one, and then...
Okay, sure. No, okay. Let's rock, paper, scissors.
Obviously, Gaffer Project. Yeah. Those guys mean so much to us. They took us out on our first real tour, and they didn't know us at all.
Yeah, it was 20 days.
Yeah, yeah.
It was our first
real tour. Our first real tour. Super DIY, but it was like also like a huge growing experience for our band to just get out there and just do it, even though we knew nothing. And they believed in us like when no one else did. And not only that, but they're like a two-piece bass and drums band. And so that in and of itself is just kind of cool. And they're awesome guys, and they make killer music. Oh, yeah.
Band called Eves. They're from Richmond, Virginia. And, yeah, they're like a melodic post-rock, post-hardcore band. Who is also just really positive and it feels like just from talking to them and getting to know them that their like main mission is to tell people that they're important. Mm-hmm. And like they say that all the time and they tell people that they have value and like beyond the music, like to me that's important.
Yeah.
You know? So they're, yeah. And I just got some of their like demos and their next stuff is about to be next level. So yeah. I feel really good about that. Yeah.
Man, I guess I'd probably say Formerly Bodies. We toured with her in November. It's a solo project. Her name's Hannah, but she goes by Formerly Bodies. And one, her music is beautiful. Two, it's super encouraging. And, three, she's just an awesome person. And we like clicked with her way more than we thought we would. Like just right off the bat, we were friends. And, she's just an awesome person, and we all three care about her a lot. But also, she's, like, super talented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also heard her demos, and they're about to be next level.
Oh, yeah, they are. They're
really
great.
Good.
Yeah.
Last one.
Yeah.
One more, man.
And whoever you don't pick, you're shitting on.
So. Yeah, exactly. That's tough, and it sucks that I have to be the last pick here. I would probably say, another band from Virginia, Bloom.
Oh yeah,
a band called Bloom. Yeah, those guys are.
All of those bands are playing Threatfest.
Oh yeah,
so.
That's true too. So come to Threatfest. Yeah, they're.
What are the dates of Threatfest again?
August 24th and 25th.
Yep.
Yeah, this will come out the week before Threatfest.
Oh,
so
okay.
Timed it out perfectly.
Cool.
Perfect.
You got a week to get there.
There it goes.
No more questions.
There's my notes.
Yeah, Bloom's cool. They're just really, really great guys. We had a great time with them. We got to play some new cities that we hadn't gotten to play yet with them because of them. And they just... I don't know, they're fun. They're just fun to be around, and sometimes that's all you need, you know?
Right, right. So, normally, I end the podcast, the last two questions, first one being, what is your biggest fan moment? Like, a person you've gotten to meet, or a show you got to play?
Yeah, I knew this one was coming.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Dude, I don't know, you go first. Yeah,
you knew it was coming.
I
got to
think about
know.
It. I still haven't been able to. I've been trying
to
think.
Yeah, okay. We got to open for Birds in Row. And that was really, really cool.
Was that at 77?
That was at 70s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are my boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love those fucking dudes.
That was one of the most incredible sets I've ever seen.
They're the sweetest people I've ever met in my entire life.
Yeah, that was, I don't know, like, hearing that band, so we talked earlier about you, like, TMing for the Chariot. I know that were they on the last one? Were you?
Yeah.
So you got to see
them
a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, they're just super nice. And
they were the nicest people I've ever met.
I don't know what I was expecting. I guess that's maybe the biggest band we've played with. Maybe.
So. Their new record rips.
It's awesome. So that makes me even more like fanboy over it, you know?
I hope they don't take as long to get back over to America. I mean, I guess they are playing on Converge, but it's only on the West Coast.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Yeah, it was like 4 years in between them, or 3 or 4 years between Chariot's final tour and then coming back to America. So,
yeah.
Bergerow, I know you're not listening to this, but if you are, come back to America.
Hey, that might be.
I miss you.
They were surprisingly easy to reach out to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, they only want to play shows like that. Like, they have told me, like, they, like, don't enjoy playing, like, big shows at all.
Oh, wow.
Like, when we were on that tour, they would, like, always be... I mean, obviously, they would play any venue, but they were, like, always upset, like, when it was a venue that wasn't, like, people right in front of them, like, floor show.
Right.
Like, that's all they wanted to do.
Yeah.
I get that.
Cool.
Ah, man.
Come on. Had weeks
it's tough.
To think
it's
about
tough.
This.
That one's a good one. Birds and Row.
I can pick the other one if you want me to.
No, it's good. We got to play with a band called Take It Back once, and that was really cool. And then like their vocalist like took a liking to us, and like really like he took us under his wing for a little bit and helped us out as much as he could. And
underrated band.
Yeah, I know they were so good.
So
they were so great.
Where are you from?
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Did they ever make it out up there?
Not that I'm aware of.
How did you know?
Just knew Face Down Records back in 2008.
Right.
I was just like, or back in the late 2000s. I mean, probably it was before that. It probably would have been 2004 or 5 actually, because it was like Cyanide Beach was the first one I got. But I listened to Tooth and Nail, Solid State, Face Down, Militia Group, those four labels from 2004 to 2000 whatever. I listened to every single band that came off them.
Mm. Yeah. So, they used to come through here all the time. And
I talked about this in the last podcast that I like just watched from afar of Nashville getting all the cool shows and me just being starved for anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't imagine that they have too much in New Hampshire.
They do now, but it's like one of those things where, I mean, everything that's cool gets to New Hampshire like 4 years after the fact. Mm-hmm. It was once I left New Hampshire is when they like started having shows near me and stuff.
They were waiting
like that.
For you to leave, man.
Right. Yeah. Once I went to college. Because that was like, you know, that would have been 07 or 08, which is right when, you know, like Fall Out Boy was already popular and like that, you know, that type of music had become a mainstream thing.
Right.
But back when I was up there, it was like, I mean, I was the only dude wearing girl pants. Me and like four other people who I all played in a band with were the only people playing that kind of music where I lived.
Heck yeah.
So.
Honestly, I guess for me, my biggest fan moment might be just we've gotten to play with a band called Sinai Vessel a couple times now. And for me, that was always...
They played Threat Fest, right?
They did. They played Threat Fest last year. And then like a couple months after that, we played with him in Kansas City. And then we played with him again back at that 70s house when he came through Nashville. And then I had gone and seen them like before that, like just at that 70s. I'd loved that band forever. And so getting to play with him was multiple times and like get to know him briefly has been really cool for me. And they're not a super big band, but
they are opening for Jimmy World.
They are. Yeah. I saw that. That Power was Twitter. Crazy. I can't believe that happened.
Yeah. We are trying to open for Under Oath through the same process. So.
Yeah, we'll see. Jimmy World's the coolest band in the world.
We just saw them at the Ryman.
Oh, I was there.
You were there?
Yeah.
That was... Okay, so Jimmy
that was
World.
It was a clinic. You know what I mean?
We went to church. Then.
Like, yeah, like it was just, I felt like I was like in rock and roll clinic. Like, they, like, there was no dead time.
No.
Like, the changeovers were immediate. There was like barely any talking in between songs. Every song sounded perfect. Like,
right.
It was
it's
like.
Almost like they've been doing it for
surgical.
20 years or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They never played the Ryman until then.
Yeah, that's right.
That's insane to me.
Yeah. So me and JJ. That has been like one of our like our friendship bands. Like we both love that band so much. And so there were like multiple chances we had to see them over the years, but we never took opportunity of it. There's actually one time we almost got to see them on the 10-year anniversary for Futures.
I went to that in Chattanooga.
And we kick ourselves every day for not seeing that show. And so when I saw
you should.
I bet it was
They
amazing.
Also played all of the Stay By My Side Tonight EP. So they never play. So just
when
to
JJ
make you feel worse.
He's going to cry. Yeah. He's going to cry. but so when I saw that they announced a show at the Ryman, not only Jimmy World at the Ryman, but everyone who knows me knows that I love the Hotelier. They almost like hate how much I talk about that band. JJ hates it.
We have like a 2 or 3 play limit. Like he can only play the Hotelier in the van like one time all the way through per
every
week.
Tour, yeah.
So if we're on 2 weeks, you get 2. That's it. No more than that.
So I use my headphones a lot.
Yeah.
but so like 2 of my favorite bands already, like they announced it at the Ryman. I was like, okay, I'm going. And then they announced Microwaves opening, and I love that band too. And so I spent way too much money getting like good seats for us, and like it was super awesome. And now they're playing live on the green, and I could have waited
for
3 months and saw them for free. But
yeah, but
I don't care.
The
I don't care.
Then
is
a whole different experience.
Yeah. It's just funny though. But I would have done it either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So lastly, what are y'all most proud of? And it could be creatively, or it could be in life. Whatever you feel like.
Oh, anything.
Yeah, whatever you feel. I mean, you'll probably answer the creative one regardless, mm-hmm. but I always find this question to be very interesting because everybody kind of takes it a different way.
Mm-hmm. Man. I don't know. You got one on lockdown? Or
you guys want to know a secret? Here's a secret before you do it. So this question has been the staple question to ask everybody at the end. I've never said this on any of them. But I really don't know where it came from. I literally asked it to Cody on the very first episode, and I don't even think like I meant to. Like I came up with it like in the moment, and I thought like I was like, this sounds cool. And then as soon as I said it, I was like, oh, it's so stupid. Like, why did I say that? And then I can't remember. I think it was Kyle, actually. It was like, no, that's cool. You should keep doing that. And so then it just became the question. Yeah. But it's funny. Yeah,
no. The fact that I'm not saying anything yet isn't indicative of it being a bad question.
No.
Like, it's good. So I got to like think about it.
It's one of my favorite questions to ask because it's such a, you know, it can be such a profound question. So it takes most people a few seconds to gather themselves before they answer it. But it's just funny because like I said, I didn't even think it was that good a question when I first started doing it. But
I think it's great
one
way
of my
to end
favorite,
the podcast.
It's one of my favorite questions.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you for that question.
I'm not most proud of.
Not most proud.
Yeah.
One, I'd probably say my relationship with Jesus. That's one thing that I try to take very seriously, and I hope that I take more seriously every day. And then 2, probably, a community I feel like we've built around this band. Like, just like we try our best to like care about everyone and, even people that like might not show it back. And I feel like, especially with Threat Fest and especially last year at Threat Fest, there's just like this overwhelming sense of community. And that was the most proud that I feel like I felt of this band.
Mm-hmm.
Was last year at Threat Fest when everyone, it wasn't something that like we fabricated, like everyone there just started saying that they felt the overwhelming sense of like love and encouragement and community at the festival. And we didn't even like start it with that goal. It just kind of happened. And that's something that we want to keep cultivating. And I would probably say out of this band, one, I think the musical direction we're going, obviously, I want to obviously like continue to be proud of that. If it's not something that I'm always proud of, then should probably stop doing it. but also just I feel like community that we've built or have been a part of. We didn't build it, but if we can continue to cultivate that and keep growing it throughout the wherever we tour, but also especially back home in Nashville. If we continue to grow that, then I'd be super proud. Yeah.
Personally, I'm, it's so hard to like say you're proud of yourself or something. Cause I don't want it ever to seem like I'm like the best ever, but, I have been able to get out of my comfort zone quite a bit. And, you know, that carried over into the band for sure. But like, you know, being able to do a whole bunch of things at once and not go crazy. Graduating college was really sick. Still maintaining friendships and working a ton. And just like, I want to be able to take care of myself and take care of others. And I've been pretty proud of how I've been able to handle that so far. So personally, doing the best I can to just have my shit together. As a band, I think he said it best. Like, if this band doesn't make another song or play another show,
yeah,
like, I can feel satisfied that we were able to accept others and have them accept us for how we are. And I don't know, if we do continue to write music, which we are,
mm-hmm,
and if we continue to play shows, which we're about to go on tour with Kamsen, by the way, so check that band out,
mm-hmm,
then I'll continue to be proud of that fact that wherever we go, we're not going to change who we are, whether we're on stage or off the stage.
Yeah.
Whether we're around people who believe the same things we do or don't, I want to be constant and let people know that they, to me, are great exactly how they are. So, yeah.
Cool. I love that. See? I love getting sentimental. I'm starting to be a therapist, so I'm all about sentimental.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So, I love feelings. It's great. Aren't yeah, feelings great?
They are, they great.
Are. So they sick. Are. Yeah. Anyway, well, Kyle's not here to cut it, so we'll have to do a Lucas cut it edition.
Cut it, Lucas.
Cut it, Lucas. Yes.
This week's music was Empty House by Idle Threat, which you can go check out anywhere you get your jams. Big thank you to Kyle at the Tiny Tape Room for recording and being the best. Thank you to Lucas at the Sanctuary for doing all the video content that we have online. Thank you to Charles Appatoon for the logo and branding. And lastly, thank you for listening. Be a fan of your friends and love one another.